Good morning, church. It's good to see you. Let's go with a prayer. Our gracious Father, we thank you for being in control. We worship you this morning. Thank you for the fact that our days are in your hands. This is a challenging day for our church. Our heart goes out to many families represented here that are dealing with sickness and loss. I think of the Strand family, the Russell family, the Collins family, the Martinez family, the Brooks family, and the Bowden family, just to name a few. Please provide peace as these families grieve their loss. I pray for peace and comfort for the Usick Baptist Church family as we weather this storm together. I ask that you will use this message today to serve as your purpose for our individual lives and the life of this church. I pray that Pastor Mike's passing will serve as a catalyst to get love and unity overflowing within the church family at UBC. Father, work in our hearts, challenge us, convict us, move us in the direction of your choosing. We surrender to your authority and sovereign control. We ask that you will minister to us with overflowing love and compassion. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as most of you know, our very beloved pastor, Mike Bowden, went to be with the Lord on Wednesday night. He's in his presence. He's died of complications brought on by the coronavirus. He passed peacefully. He passed in the presence of his family. And on Wednesday night, Pastor Mike's faith became sight. COVID got his body, but heaven got his soul. He experienced Jesus bumps, as he would say, like never before. Pastor Mike is in heaven. Pastor Mike is in the presence of Jesus. I truly wrestled over what I could say this morning that would help us as a church family weather this storm that we find ourselves in this morning. I found myself asking, what would Pastor Mike say if he were here? What would he ask me to say due to his passing? And I can hear him say four clear things. MJ, talk about the reality of heaven and the hope of a living life with eternity in your sights. Number two, talk about the fact that God is in control and that my death was not an accident. MJ, talk about living life with an attitude that says I will do whatever it takes to serve others and glorify God. And MJ, talk about Jesus. Talk about Jesus. Tell everyone how amazing he is and how we need to trust him as our Savior and live our lives getting to know him better. To me, that kind of sums up the life of Pastor Mike Bowden. So let's start with the first one. Talk about the reality of heaven and a hope of living life with an eternal perspective or living life with eternity in your sights. Pastor Mike modeled what it was like to live a life with eternity in his sights. 2 Timothy 4:8 says, the Apostle Paul writes, he says, Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness with the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Now there is no doubt in my mind that Pastor Mike has or will receive the crown of righteousness. There's no doubt that Pastor Mike longed for the time when he would cross that line and pass from this life into eternity to be with Jesus. It was on his mind all the time. He spoke about it. He spoke about heaven. He spoke about being with Jesus all the time. How many of you have heard him say when saying goodbye? Here, there, or what? In the air, right? Or when making plans would always add, or until Jesus comes. I heard him say, well, hey, today could be the day that Christ returns. He was always looking forward to that time. Heaven was on his mind all the time, and now he's there. He is with Jesus, and he's probably hanging out with his dad and his two brothers. Pastor Mike has taught us to live life with an eternal perspective. How many of us here today think much about eternity, think much about the next chapter? Most people look at life as kind of a timeline, you know, starting with birth, ending with death, their whole life is focused on retirement. You grow up, you go to school, you get a job, you start a family, you retire, you eventually die. For Mike, he took it to a whole new level, looking well beyond retirement. His focus was on life beyond the grave. Most everything Pastor Mike did was building up to the glorious day when he would go home to be with Jesus. Every decision he made was with eternity in mind. Pastor Mike knew why he was here, and he lived each day fulfilling his purpose. Pastor Mike shared the Apostle Paul's passion for going home to heaven when Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." How many of us truly say, like the Apostle Paul, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain"? Is everything in our being committed to Jesus Christ? Would we burn everything else to the ground in order to align ourselves with him? Do we, like the Apostle Paul, long to be with Christ in heaven? Or have we made such an uncomfortable place for us here in this life, for ourselves here? When you fall in love with someone, you want to be with them. So are we so in love with Jesus that we want to be with him, to see him face to face? Prayer is good. Reading God's word is good. Being led by his spirit is good. But do you desire to see his face? Pastor Francis Chan states, "We sometimes talk about God as this impersonal being rather than the love of our life. Do we love him with our heart? Do we love him with our soul? Do we love him with our mind and our strength? Or is it possible that we have built such a home for ourselves here on earth that we no longer long to see his face?" My friend, God has always wanted a passionate love relationship with us. Pastor Chan states, "A lot of times when we are waiting for him to come, we fall in love with so many other things. And suddenly, we can put off the coming of Christ. Many have fallen in love with other things just as much as they love Jesus, or maybe even more, to the point that they're even sad to leave this earth. Paul is saying here, "For me to live is Christ." He is consumed with Jesus. He is focused on Jesus. And for Paul, and I would say for Pastor Mike, dying is gain. It is the climax. It is the finale. It is the beginning of eternity. And for Christ followers, it is what we long for. It is what we live for. And it's what Pastor Mike had in his sights. Pastor Mike loved to hunt. In fact, Pastor Mike spent the last month of his life doing one of the things that he enjoyed the most, and it was hunting elk with his son Josh and being with his family. And for the first time ever, both Pastor Mike and Josh got an elk in the same year. When Pastor Mike looked at life, he focused his scope not on retirement, not on material wealth, not on living a problem-free life, but on eternity. He looked past the hardships, he looked past the obstacles, and he found Jesus in his sights. And that's how we are to live our life, not with the goal of being comfortable, but using our gifts to the best as we could for God's glory. That's why we're here. Pastor Mike had a focus on Jesus Christ. Pastor Mike's life was all about preparing for that moment. Pastor Mike thought a lot about that final moment. He spent to be present from the body, or to be absent from the body and present from the Lord. Some of us have not thought about that at all, even this week. And when was the last time we even thought about that moment when we crossed from this life into eternity? Do we long to see his face? Do we look forward and long for Christ's coming? What really matters the most in life, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. And clearly we can't undo what happened this week. We can't bring Pastor Mike back. But why would we? Selfishly, I'd love to have him back. We got pretty close over a short period of time. But the reality is this: Pastor Mike has graduated. And I love him so much, I would not want him to miss a moment in heaven. It's what he lived for. It's what he longed for. And it's hard for those of us who are still here, yet we are to be faithful to our calling. And when our time has come, when our clock has run out, all of our pain, all of our loss will be eclipsed if we, by joy, if we know Jesus Christ as our Savior. There's a song entitled, What a Day It Will Be, and that puts it in perspective. It says, what a day that will be when Jesus, when my Jesus I will see and look upon his face, the one, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, what a glorious day that will be. There will be no sorrow there, no burdens to bear, no more sickness, no more pain, no more parting over there, but forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. If Pastor Mike were here today, he would talk about having an eternal perspective. And I think he would also say, MJ, talk about the fact that God is in control of everything and my death was not an accident. I can hear Pastor Mike saying, don't worry about it. God's in control. God will take care of it, all of it. Pastor Mike lived his life truly believing that God was on top of things. Pastor Mike was convinced that even the confusing parts of life have a purpose. Pastor Mike believed that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And the theme of God's sovereignty fills the pages of Scripture. Proverbs 19:21, we read, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. Psalms 22:28 states, for dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. Colossians 1:17, we read, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Jeremiah 10:23 states, the Lord, I know that people's lives are not their own. It is not for them to direct their steps. Isaiah 45:5-7 declares, I am the Lord, and there is no other apart from me. There is no other God. I will strengthen you, though you have not acknowledged me, so that from the rising of the sun to the place of its setting, people may know that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none other. I form the light, and I create the darkness. I bring prosperity, and I create disaster. I, the Lord, do all of these things. The sovereignty of God is foundational to everything we believe about God. If we do not believe that God is in control of everything, we'll start to question his love. We'll question his wisdom. We'll question his power. We'll question his majesty. We will question everything about God if we cannot start with the fact that God is sovereignly over everything and in control of everything. On Wednesday morning, I shared a devotional with our staff on the sovereign control of God over our lives. Little did we know that God was going to use that devotional to prepare all of us for the events that were to unfold during that day. God in his grace was already preparing us for the upcoming news of Pastor Mike's passing. I read a devotional to the staff from the website called gotquestions.org. I'd like to review some of what I read. The concept of the control of God over everything is called the sovereignty of God. Nothing gives us strength and confidence like an understanding of the sovereignty of God in our lives. God's sovereignty is defined as his complete and total independent control over every creature, event, and circumstances at every event in history. Subject to none, influenced by none, absolutely independent. God does what he pleases, only as he pleases, always as he pleases. God is in complete control of every molecule in the universe at every moment, and everything that happens is either caused or allowed by him for his perfect purposes. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely, as I have thought, so it shall come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand. Isaiah 14:24. Nothing is random. Nothing comes by chance, especially not in the lives of believers. He purposed it. That means he deliberately resolved to do something. God has resolved to do what he will do, and nothing and no one stands in his way. I make known the end of the beginning from the ancient times, what is still to come, and I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please, Isaiah 46:10 says. This is our powerful, purposeful God who controls everything, that brings us great comfort and help to alleviate our fears, ultimate in power, unrivaled in majesty, not thwarted by anything outside of himself. Our God is in complete control of all circumstances, causing or allowing them for his good purpose and plans to be fulfilled exactly as he foreordained. God is sovereign, my friends. God is in control. And life can completely change all around us with one piece of devastating news. We're running on one track and something happens and we end up on another. We make plans and then something happens and it changes the prospect of the future. We make plans, we have hopes, we have dreams, and at times we are faced with the reality that some of those plans, some of those dreams have been set aside by God to prepare us for something different. And through it all, we try to make sense of it. We want to fix it. But what happens when you can't fix it? It's in that moment, that juncture, that intersection, that crossroads that we must resolve that God is in control and trust him. Or live our life, the rest of our life, mad at God, mad at others, filled with anxiety and hopelessness. I have no doubt that there are some people here today that are riding on the path of bitterness and anger. Someone has hurt you. Someone has abandoned you, and you're living in a prison of hate and unforgiveness. Forgiveness towards someone is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. Some of you here today need to cut the line. You need to trust God that he's in control and to believe that he's going to use that pain and loss in your life for your good and his glory. Will you surrender your anger to him today? For your sake, for your family's sake, for the church's sake, and mostly for God's sake. God is sovereign. He's sovereign, my friends. You can trust him. The whole counsel of God pounds away at this great theme, the sovereignty of God. The biblical doctrine of the sovereignty of God tells us that God was as much in control on Wednesday morning as he was on Wednesday night when Mike passed away. God was as much in control on the darkest day in history when Jesus was nailed to the cross as when he was in control on the greatest day of history when Jesus rose from the dead. There's not a day that will come or pass in your life that when God, the creator of the earth, the sovereign and everlasting king, is not absolutely in control of everything that happens. So if Pastor Mike were here today, and I wish he was, I can hear him say, MJ, talk about living life with an attitude that says, I will do whatever it takes to serve others and glorify God. As I thought about what I could share this morning, I thought about a statement that Pastor made to Bob and Miriam Bishop a couple months ago. He said, I've been praying that God would do whatever it takes to heal our church and bring about growth. I mean, that was the passion of Pastor Mike. He loved this church family, and he truly grieved over the hurt and division and confusion that had surfaced over the years. Pastor Mike had a huge heart for people. If you knew him, you knew that. And I know that Pastor Mike would do whatever it takes to help this church family become unified and loving towards each other. Pastor Mike had a passion for the lost and a love for Christ's church, and it even shared his faith. And it was praying for the medical staff at the hospital this week. But no one realized, including Mike, that God would use his passing to help unite and love our church and bring about love in our church. That was always Pastor Mike's heartfelt desire. Lord, whatever it takes. If you've been around Mike, you know that's his attitude. Whatever it takes, do it. Don't hold back. Do whatever it takes to bring out a revival in our church. Do whatever it takes to soften hearts. Do whatever it takes to create a loving atmosphere here at UBC. Lord, do whatever it takes to bring us together as a church family. Do whatever it takes. And I think God is looking for people like Pastor Mike who will do whatever it takes. I think God is looking for an army that will do whatever it takes. I think he is looking for a body of believers that will do whatever it takes. A group who will say, do whatever it takes to follow Christ unconditionally and do whatever it takes to unify under one purpose, one God, one doctrine. Lord, do whatever it takes for the Spirit to break out in our church and our community. Do whatever it takes, Lord. And if you want to have a movement of God that we've never seen before, we must have a do whatever it takes mentality. God is looking for people like Pastor Mike Bowden who will say, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes for you to today may be stepping out in faith and going into a ministry or direction you never dreamed of. Whatever it takes for you today may be forgiving somebody. Whatever it takes for you today may be asking for forgiveness. Whatever it takes for you today may be forgiving yourself. Whatever it takes for you today may be restoring a strained relationship. Whatever it takes for you today may be stepping out and getting involved in a ministry, a church. Whatever it takes for you today may be reaching out to your neighbor who does not know Christ. Whatever it takes for you today may be stepping out of your comfort zone and introducing to yourself to someone here at Eustick Baptist Church that you've never met. Whatever it takes for you today may be something that you would not normally be comfortable with. Lord, whatever it takes. The Bible is full of stories of people who allowed apathy to steal from them their joy and God-given passion. And it's also full of stories of people who saw miracles and breakthroughs because they simply said and did whatever it takes. Would you please turn to 1 Corinthians 9:22? 1 Corinthians 9:22. The Apostle Paul was one who had a whatever it takes attitude. He was one who did not let his weaknesses, his insecurities stop him from fulfilling his God-given plan. He was one who had said, here I am, Lord, send me, use me, no matter what it takes. This verse speaks of a person who had a whatever it takes attitude. Verse 22 reads, to the weak I became weak, that I would win the weak. I became all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. You know, Paul's motivation here was to share the gospel with as many people as possible and bring people to Christ, bring people to Jesus. It was the passion of Paul that people surrender their life to him. And the idea of being all things to all people is a wonderful concept. But unfortunately, it's been taken wrong at times. Here's what this phrase does not mean. It does not mean that we compromise the message of the gospel in any way. It does not mean that we change the truth in the least way in order to satisfy anyone. Paul is not a chameleon who changed his message with each new situation, and Paul was not a compromiser who adjusted his message to please his audience. And to bring all things to all people is to do whatever it takes to reach people for Jesus Christ without compromising our integrity and without changing our message. Paul had a whatever it takes attitude, and he would do whatever it takes to open doors for him to be heard by others. As an example, he had more degrees than a thermometer, but he still worked as a tent maker to reach out to blue-collar workers. He worked for a living. He brought in a paycheck so as not to be a stumbling block to those in his day that have a problem with somebody being on mission support. He humbled himself. He took on the role of a servant, risking ridicule and poor treatment to model a life set apart for Christ and to care for others. To be anything for Christ may involve you becoming a better listener, for example, instead of jumping in with all the answers. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. People need to know that you care. And listening is a great place to start. By listening first, the other person becomes an individual we care about rather than simply a mission field to convert. About being kind. Being kind to one another. This is an attitude that says, whatever it takes, I'm going to be kind to people. I'm going to reach out to people. And this should go without saying for Christians, but unfortunately, we can sometimes forget kindness in the passion of the moment. To be kind to one another, forgiving one another, just as in Christ God forgave you. God calls his church to unconditional love. And if we would love others like Christ loved us, it would change the world. People would flock to our churches to be part of that kind of sincere and genuine kindness and love and acceptance. If there's ever been a loving or if there ever needs to be a loving unified environment, it must be the church. It's been said that bars are a counterfeit church. You ever hear that? Bars are a counterfeit church. Why? Because in a bar, you find what? You find fellowship, you find support, and you find acceptance. And as the country song goes, it's a place where everyone knows your name. But I know the church can do better than that. I know the church can do better than that. To be anything for Christ is to be, you know, to be anything for Christ is to be sensitive to our culture and sensitive to our community. We need to be willing to ask, is there anything we need to be doing that is serving as a stumbling block for the people that drive past this church building several times a week? We don't change our message, never. We always stand on solid biblical truth. But what about our methods? What about our methods? Can we change things from time to time without compromising anything? We need to be willing to ask the hard question and be sensitive to the people around us. And for Paul, everything was about Christ, and he was willing to ask the hard questions. But that by all means, I might save some. There are many examples in the Bible of people who had a whatever it takes attitude. I think of Noah. Man, the guy spent 20 years building a boat for a flood. What's a flood? I mean, you know, on that day there wasn't a flood. He was willing to do whatever it takes to step out in faith and trust God, and it didn't make sense. He was willing to be uncomfortable. He was willing to be misunderstood. He was willing to be criticized and persecuted. Noah was just all in. About Moses, when he stood on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, or the Red Sea, with a staff in the air and a prayer in his heart. I guess he was thinking, Lord, you're great and awesome. If you don't come through here, we're all sunk. You know, no pun intended, but, and miraculously, God parted the sea, and the Israelites passed on dry ground. How about Elijah? I love this story because it vividly shows how Elijah trusted God for the absolute impossible. Elijah stood on Mount Carmel with a grin on his face and a whatever it takes attitude in his heart. The nation of Israel had turned their back on the Lord, and something needed to be done to bring them around. Elijah had everyone gather at Mount Carmel along with 850 prophets, false prophets. The challenge was whoever God could send fire down to light the offering, he's the one we worship. And the false gods went first, and they cried out to Baal all day, and nothing happened. Elijah mocked them. Maybe your God is on the toilet. Maybe he's busy. Maybe he's sleeping. He must have had a great time with that. But then it was Elijah's time, and you can almost wonder what's in his mind. Lord, I'm really putting myself out here. I'm going to pray to you, and I'm going to trust you that you're going to bring fire from heaven and consume this altar, this fire, this sacrifice. And when Elijah prayed that God would bring fire out of heaven and light the evening offering, it says in 1 Kings 18:38, immediately the fire of the Lord flashed down from heaven and burnt up the young bull, the wood, the stones, and the dust. even licked up all the water in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their face into the ground and they said, "The Lord, He is God." Yes, the Lord, He is God. Elijah had a whatever it takes attitude. We move into the New Testament. We find guys like Peter. We find Peter the water walker, and the boat huggers were back in the boat. We see a woman with an issue of blood who had given up on finding a cure until Jesus came to town. She said to herself, "I'm going to do whatever it takes to get to the feet of Jesus." Think of the four men who carried the physical, who challenged man to Jesus, but they couldn't get through the front door because of the crowds. So they went through the roof. They definitely had a whatever it takes attitude. They went all the way. They didn't quit. They didn't become uncomfortable. When they became uncomfortable, they didn't let the opinions of others stop them. I remember meeting Pastor Mike for the first time. I've been pretty good, you gotta admit, so give me a minute. He was in the hallway outside the offices. I looked at him and I remember the picture I saw, and I thought, first thing I thought is, "You're shorter than I thought." But he's as tall as I am, so that, you know, what does that say? You know, but it didn't take long to appreciate Pastor Mike and Karen. That day, Angie and I went out to Applebee's for lunch with Pastor Mike and Karen, and we hit it off, you know, from the very start. We shared some of our story. Pastor Mike and Karen shared some of their story, and toward the end of our time, Pastor Mike looked me in the eye, and he said something I'll never forget. He said, "Mike?" I was Mike at that time until I came on staff. Then I turned to MJ. I don't know how that worked. That's kind of a joke because I said, "Mike, why do I have to be MJ? Why can't you be MB or something like that?" He said, "Because I've been here longer, okay?" But he said, "Mike, I got a purpose. God's got a purpose for you here. Not just Angie, but you as well." And I thought, well, I thought I was here to run a handyman business. I thought I was here to help Angie with the children's ministry program. Little did I know that God had other plans. Plans beyond setting toilets and hanging drywall. But that was Mike. That was Mike. Always seeing the potential in others, Mike saw more in me than I saw in myself. A conversation I had with Mike many times over the last couple of years. Mike was all in. He was all in. He was not afraid to do or say whatever it took to fulfill something he truly believed in. A whatever it takes mentality comes with a price tag, my friends. It does. It's costly. It can be. When Angie and I were teenagers, before we even knew each other, we both had a whatever it takes mentality. I remember saying, "Lord, use me wherever, whatever, and whenever you want." And Angie was living in Michigan at the time, and she was praying the same thing. If you have a whatever it takes mentality, be prepared because God is going to take you up on it. The journey will be pretty crazy at times, but it will be the most amazing decision you make because you will see God do miracles that you could never imagine. You will see God change lives before your very eyes. God will allow you to see people surrender their lives to Jesus. It will cost you everything. But in the process of surrendering your life to Jesus, you will gain everything. You will experience things and see things that God reserves for those who are willing to put everything on the line. And my friends, you will never regret it. Never regret it, because eventually you will leave this earth knowing that you left nothing on the table. And like Pastor Mike right now, you will be able to see what a surrendered life is all about. There will be people in heaven, and there will be people there because you had a whatever it takes attitude. I can't imagine how many Armor of God coins Pastor Mike passed out. Thousands, I bet. My friends, it's not too late to develop a whatever it takes attitude, mentality. God will take you wherever you are right now and use you to impact people's lives. And I know that's already happening. But look for opportunities. Some of you are already there. You're saying, Lord, Mike, I'm already there. Or MJ, I'm already there. And that's great. But some of us need to step up and say, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever it takes. You don't have to go outside the walls of this church to find outreach opportunities. They're right here. Did you know that people have come to know Jesus Christ here in this worship center over the last couple months? Through the messages, through God's prompting? Here. I mean, those people, they need a friend. They need a mentor. Our ministry is right around us. The people sitting in front of you, behind you, the side of you. We think of ministry out there, but we have lots of ministry here, my friends. Are we living our lives as an attitude, as an individual Christians, with a whatever it takes attitude? Are we willing to do whatever it takes in our life to live our life for Jesus? Do you truly desire to use Jesus as you live out the last days of your life on this earth? Or are you satisfied with just getting up in the morning, going to work, putting in your time, coming home, eating some supper, watching some news, going to bed, getting up the next morning, and doing it all over again? Is that fulfilling? God is saying, I want to give you something more. I want to give you the abundant life. Will you trust me for something that you've never trusted me before? There's a whole new world out there for people who will have a whatever it takes mentality. And as I close this morning, there's one more thing, a very important thing that I am positive that Pastor Mike would want me to share this morning. MJ, talk about Jesus. Talk about Jesus. Tell everyone how amazing he is and how we need to trust him as our Savior and spend the rest of our life getting to know him better. Pastor Mike was totally committed to loving and serving Jesus. Jesus was the center and the circumference of his existence. He was totally wrapped up in Christ, loving Christ, knowing Christ, speaking of Christ, serving Christ. He shared it with his wife. He shared it with his family. He shared it with his grandkids. It was everything to him. He wanted the people around him, especially his family, to know that I love Jesus and you can follow him, trust him, and you'll never be disappointed. Never. For Pastor Mike, Christ and Christ alone was his inspiration, his direction, his meaning, his purpose. He was consumed and he was directed by Christ. So for Pastor Mike, it didn't matter if he lived or died, he wanted to give his life to Christ. All that mattered is that Christ is honored and the gospel is spread. Jesus Christ is a supreme example of someone who did whatever it takes. He died on the cross for our sins, and anyone can come to him in faith and be saved. Jesus was the greatest soul winner that ever lived, and it was because he knew the value of a soul, and he was willing to do whatever it takes to win them out of Satan's kingdom. Our prayer as staff, our prayer as elders, deacons, deaconesses, ministry directors, is that everyone here at UBC is united, and that Pastor Mike's death would serve as a catalyst to living by his example to show love and grace to all and to set our minds on things above. So as we close this morning, we're going to pray. We're going to have a song first, but then I want to pray with you. And during that song that we sing, that we're going to be singing, I want you to be thinking about four things. The prayer is going to challenge around four things. First of all, is there someone in your life that you need to forgive? It's really hard to live an abundant Christian life when you're angry at somebody, when you're bitter, when you're holding resentment. And some of you have lived it for years, decades. How is it working for you? It's awful. It's an awful place to be. Do you need to let go of bitterness and anger that has kept you in an emotional prison? Do you need to come to God today with a name or several names and say, God, help me to forgive them. Help me to love them. Number two, is there someone, maybe someone here right now, with whom you need to ask forgiveness because you, before you leave this building, perhaps you have done things, perhaps you have said things, perhaps you have thought things that you need to make right today. Don't leave here without doing that. And three, is God prompting you to trust him and say, along with Pastor Mike, whatever it takes, Lord, whatever it takes, I'm here, send me. I'm surrendering to you this morning. I'm sure I could bring a number of people up here that says, I made that commitment and I don't regret it because I have lived my life for Christ. I was a teenager when I prayed that God would do whatever it takes, would do whatever he wanted, that he would lead me wherever he chose and that he would do it whenever he chose. You do not have to be a teenager to pray that prayer today. And lastly, and I would say most importantly, we need to pray, or do you need to pray and trust Jesus as your Savior today? Do you need to trust Jesus as your Savior today? Perhaps you've been putting that decision off for some reason. Maybe you think that you can wait, do it another time. We've learned this week that life is fragile and can be taken from us instantly. Becoming a follower of Christ is not complicated. In fact, it's pretty simple. And it has everything to do with the attitude of our heart. God desires a relationship with us. And because of sin, there's a massive separation between God and us. The Bible said that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But God wanted to restore that relationship, so he sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. And whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's as simple as A, B, and C. A, admit that you're a sinner and you need a Savior. B, believe that Jesus Christ is God and he died and rose again to save you. And C, come to him. Come to faith in Jesus, believing that he will forgive you and he will save you. So as the worship team comes up here right now, we're going to sing a song. It's called, Lord, I Need You. After that song, I'd like to lead us in prayer. And I would add, during this song, I would trust that you will think for yourself. Are there things that I have brought up that you would like to make right with God today? If Mike were here, he'd be saying the same thing. Man, I want you to respond. I want you to know that living for Christ is worth it. I can come and tell you that it's all worth it because I see the other side. I see what my efforts, my energy, my sorrows, my pains, my tears, I see that it all makes a difference. And so as we pray, as we sing this song, and I come back after, be thinking about maybe a commitment that you would like to pray this morning for your good and God's glory. Now, before we close or sing our closing song, I'd like us just to bow our heads. I'm going to challenge you with some things today. And between you and God, I want you to, you know, think about the things that have been shared today. Think about maybe how God is prompting you even now. And so let's go to prayer. And I'm just going to lead you in some prayers or lead you in some thoughts, and I want you to respond as you feel led to respond. Gracious Father, we come to you today. We thank you. We thank you for Pastor Mike and others that have gone before us and given us an example of how to live a life that is set apart for you. Father, there may be things in our life that we need to make right this morning that you are just laying on our hearts in a real heavy way. And I think of the issue of forgiveness or unforgiveness. I pray, Father, that you will work in people's hearts. I pray if there's someone here today, and if you're here today, I pray that you would see for yourself that your unforgiveness, your bitterness, your anger towards someone else is not helping you in your life or your relationships. I want to give you a moment to just think of a name, think of a person, perhaps several people that you can forgive right now, that you can let go. that you can cut that line? Is there someone that God brings to your mind right now that you need to forgive? I know you can't do it on your own. You have to ask God for help. Father, the second thing I would challenge all of us with today is the issue of asking for forgiveness. Perhaps there's someone here today or at home or at work or across the country that we need to get on the phone, we need to get face to face with and say, look, I've been angry with you. I have held this against you. I have thought these thoughts. I have done these things. I just need to make it right. Is there someone that God brings to you right now that you need to make things right, that you need to ask their forgiveness? And thirdly, is God prompting you to trust him and say along with Pastor Mike, whatever it takes, Lord, I am here. I'm going to think back to this service someday and think this was the time that I said, whatever, wherever, and whenever you choose, Lord. I know I made that commitment years ago and I don't regret it. It's been a challenge at times, but it's an incredible ride. Is there someone here that would pray that prayer, that would say, Lord, whatever, wherever, and whenever you choose, I want to follow you today. I want to do whatever you lead me to do. And lastly, but most importantly, I pray, Lord, that you would lay on people's hearts to respond to you today. There may be here people here today that have heard about coming to faith, they've heard about Christianity, they've heard about Jesus and trusting him, but they just keep putting it off, or they didn't even understand what it's about. God, you came. Sin entered this world. You provided a solution to that sin problem through Jesus Christ. And I pray, Father, that there's someone here today that you are prompting to come to you in saving faith, that you would lay it upon their heart, that they would pray a prayer like this. Lord, I come to you. I admit that I'm a sinner and I must need a Savior. God, I believe that Jesus is God. I believe that he died. I believe that he rose to save me. And today I come to Jesus in faith. Today I come to you in faith, Jesus, believing that you will forgive me and save me. With our heads still bowed, I'm just going to ask, and no one's looking around, if you prayed any of those prayers today, would you just raise your hand? Raise them up. I see several hands. Just keep them up, just for a few minutes. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you for the decisions that you're making. I mean, it doesn't have to be here. It can be at home. It could be on our way home. Father, thank you that we can come to you. Thank you that you're at work in our lives. Thank you that you have decided to work in us, to do a work in us for your glory. Help us to know what that looks like. We submit ourselves to you. We thank you that you're here with us right now. Be especially with the Bowden family as they grieve this loss for Louise. Let's be with the whole family as they try to process what just happened. And for others who are also dealing with grief and loss over this past few months. Thank you, Father, that you're in control. Thank you that you have a plan, that you're the giver and taker of life. You give and you take away. And we just celebrate the fact that you're in control today. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. After the service, if you'd like to come down and pray with somebody, I'll be down here. Some of our elders and ministry team leaders will be down here as well. And if you'd like to just pray with somebody, talk to someone, maybe get some more answers to the things I've shared today, we would love to talk with you. So, thank you, ma'am.